Hello, and welcome to the Loop Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Elise Steverman, Director of Marketing at Coegi. Let's get started.
Today, we are joined by Jake, Director of Data and Technology at Coegi, as well as Candice, President of Radar Analytics. Today, we're talking about a very trendy topic, artificial intelligence. I know it's something our clients ask about on a regular basis, about how we are using AI to activate, optimize, etc. But I think we need to start at the basics, talking about what is AI and how does it really come into play for marketing activation?
Well, I think we should start off with a pretty misused term. AI is important. It's very present, but not necessarily everywhere people think that they're leveraging AI. Not get things perfectly precise, because I think to some degree there is an evolution in the definition of AI, but there are some kind of key concepts to it where, let's start with an algorithm. An algorithm is like a set of rules where, if my value is above this threshold, do X. If it's below, do Y. So that's where a lot of computer-based decisions are made, just if, then, Boolean logic type stuff. Whereas when you're introducing this concept of AI, there's not necessarily a rule written for the AI. Those rules are determined based on some training set of data, and then it's going to take its learnings from that and make decisions on future data. And when it makes these decisions, it's got a goal. You're telling it, achieve this goal, and you're going to be able to change what inputs are changed. So it's going to change these five different things around to try to get to this goal. But it's going to make decisions. It's going to be able to choose, what to prioritize. And it's going to do that based on the historic data. So as it keeps growing and keeps learning, it's going to make better decisions because it's got a bigger set of, I tried these five inputs and it didn't work. I tried these five inputs and they did convert. They did buy my item. So slowly these machines are able to hone in on what attributes are more and less important. And ultimately it's this ability for some computer to make decisions and learn from those decisions and then keep making future decisions. So a lot of stuff is done in algorithms. Algorithms are very important, very cool, very related to AI, but there is a differentiation. There's lots of different things. And then even within AI, you've got machine learning and deep learning and all these other things, but they share some common characteristics where the computer is able to do human-like activities for us.
So then, Candice, talk to me about the role of AI in marketing and data science today. So what have you been seeing over the last 5 years in the proliferation of the conversation around AI? And how do you think it's going to evolve, thinking like the eventual cookieless future and other changes in marketing technology and just consumer life?
I mean, AI in our space is really just to help excel the ability to find insights quickly, to take out that need to dig for quick natural insights that can be found, trends, call outs, anomalies, things that aren't the normal, which is really helpful because it allows the teams to have more time to do the digging for the bigger insights or the bigger business objectives instead of looking for those small month over month strange things that pop up that we didn't really anticipate or know that was going to be there. And it just gives you the chance to look at a bigger picture, which everybody wants, right? Everybody wants the ability to do the deeper diving than to do that reporting. And that's really what we want to get at, is that's kind of taking care of the reporting side of things and allowing you to really get into that advanced analytics and that deeper insights that you didn't really have that chance to before the machine learning and artificial intelligence came into play. As far as the cookieless future goes, I think the main thing for everyone to understand is that your data, your first party data, is important regardless of what's going on in the world, right? These platforms change on the daily. Now we're getting ready to have GA4 come into play, and the methodology is very different than the original Google Analytics. So the main thing I think everyone needs to focus on is understanding the data you have, figuring out if there is data that you can bring into that story to really make it even more rich, and using it and testing it and deploying it and identifying your consumer, and the rest will kind of work itself out. You will always need a human. You know, a lot of times everyone thinks that these machines are going to take over the world, and they could, but you're still losing that human aspect, that common sense, that ability to really process from the beginning to the end. So I think just the importance of first party data would always be kind of my take in that space.
Yeah, and just add to that you know, the technologies behind it, you know, data science is not necessarily a really new field. It, you know, applying it to digital marketing, and even just the speed at which you can do data science has definitely, you know, kind of exponentially increased. But these same technologies, you know, it's like expected probability. How many times more likely is this user who's eligible to receive an ad right now going, you know, how many more times likely are they to convert, you know, purchase my item than a generic, you know, person of the United States population, some sort of like index level. So that sort of technology has to some degree always existed. You know, the ability to activate on that in, you know, microsecond ad buying environment is definitely changing. But you know, that's when the concept of like cohorts or like groupings of people where, you know, you can transact against this group with, you know, a certain, you know, expectation that they're more likely to do my desired action than, you know, just a generic user. So I think the addressability, you know, might be going down. That you know, that's somewhat out of, you know, anyone in this room's control. You know, that's just a macro environment that we're playing in. So we're going to have to adjust the tools we have to operating in a new macro environment, obviously, but we kind of accept, I mean, we have some agency to, you know, pick the strategies that we're using, obviously, but, you know, we're always going to, you know, at the given time, make the best decisions and make on behalf of our advertisers as possible. So we're going to deploy the best strategies. We're going to track things as granularly as we can right now. And, you know, the same technologies, the same approach, it's going to exist in the cookieless future. Our ability to track it down to a lease, just bought my item, might be diminished. And there's a whole other, you know, conversations to be had about, you know, what's the right level, you know, what level of personalization do people really like in their ads. But it exists both inside and outside digital marketing. It existed before and after the cookies. So to some degree, and you know, it's just always in digital marketing. Yeah. How fast can you adapt to the new you know, environment, the new tactics available? So that's why we've got lots of different teams. So AI is important. It's a piece of our tool, but we need, you know, people that can, you know, based on these decisions, you know, go find more publisher direct relationships. Like, how do you, you know, there's an investment. That's why it's not just me and Candace. You know, there's whole other teams that are curating relationships and partnerships, and you know, AI is going to be a piece of that, but there's a lot more of, you know, the cookieless future. I think maybe we have a whole podcast about
that. I know, because there, I mean, it's going to be testing and learning. You know, what's important today, it's going to continue to be important. Test and learn and reevaluate, and it's just a continual cycle between AI and humans. That's just part of our world. It changes so fast and so quick that you can't just set it and forget it. You have to sit there and you have to use that data in real time to make decisions and see if things are working or if they're not, and pivot from there.
So it sounds like basically the human has to set the course and be able to allow the AI to optimize towards that course, but also have a bit of that human touch to understand the human experience, understanding the business that the machine can't understand. So when we're thinking about the application of AI in marketing, how much of it do we just hand off to the machines to do their magic versus what marketers need to be looking for in that process to make sure that you're keeping in touch with the ultimate business goal?
Yeah, it's symbiotic, right? We want to work with the machines, you know, not for or, you know, you know, there's different pieces of things that we do give it. And I think to some degree they make themselves apparent. So repeatable activities, things that you find yourself making the same sort of decision over and over. Those are great, you know, kind of when we're talking about AI and, mm-hmm. and machine learning, those are the where you apply it. Like, mm-hmm. how much should I, great example, like a mobile web, you know, how much do I value a mobile web impression versus a desktop impression? Right. I can pull a billion rows in Excel. We'll pull millions and millions of rows in mm-hmm. Excel, but you know, that's not where there's a lot of value in me deciding, is it 1.5 or 1.4? Mm-hmm. And it kind of sign, you know, it's like a sine wave where you're gonna eventually get to that right value, where the machine learning is just gonna be able to mm-hmm. test all that out.
Right.
It's gonna determine, this is, you know, you said, I want you to increase my return on ad spend as high as possible. Mm-hmm. So then it's going to change all these parameters, and it's going to say, when I use these parameters, I'm producing the best return on ad spend that mm-hmm. I can for you. Mm-hmm. That's great. I don't want to pull, you know, 10 decimal places out. That's definitely a spot where we can hand over the control. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about, you know, that's full control. Then there's some of these symbiotic, like I want to work with you, where we can run things like overlap reports, where right. you know, there might be 100,000 different audience segments or 100,000 different publishers that we can run on, and we can use the machines to say, you know, give me a list of 1,000 that I should use, 1,000 publishers that I should run on. So that's where you can use a machine to crunch a large amount of data. Mm-hmm. So there's kind of that middle area, but there's really still, it's definitely a science, and our team's definitely experts, but there is a bit of an art to crafting a media mm-hmm. plan. So, mm-hmm. you know, there's relationships where you know these, you know, I've worked with very similar advertisers in the past, and we worked with these publishers because they've got a high, you know, your audience is all on this publisher. So right. there's definitely some of the machine is very short-sighted. It's like, okay, you're giving me a pick between these 10 ads to bid on. I want to pick these three. Mm-hmm. Well, that's, you know, it's worried about the next 0.1 seconds, where we've got a whole team of strategists mm-hmm. where we're thinking, you know, 3-5 years from now, how mm-hmm. do we, how does what we're doing today impact our overall favorability in the market, which isn't going to have any return? Right. You're not going to see any ROI on that for 3-5 years. So that's where a good media plan is important, and chasing attribution can be very dangerous. So I not to go off on a rant, but if you just, you know, you target people who visited my checkout page in the last 10 minutes but didn't quite make a purchase, you know, if I could bid $200 on that.
Right.
So just mm-hmm. make sure I get that last impression, get attribution. So you might see your AI doing some real weird strategies like that, where it's not driving incrementality, because mm-hmm. that's the goal. I don't need to take credit for the purchase that was in
going
process. Yeah, it would, you know, they were waiting for their credit card to process and they're on the next website. There's no way that you impacted that decision. Mm-hmm. So how do you make a media plan that is targeted at the right audience, is going to fill the top of the funnel and not just, you know, only do remarketing and paid search, because that's the bottom of the funnel. That's the last step people are taking. You know, you obviously want to own your search results. You have to be doing some of these things, but that's where you need a whole team of people to do that. So let the, you know, it sounds bad, let the number crunching all be done by, you know, take my, you know, my analysis, my need to pull up 20 different pivot tables. You know, mm-hmm. how do we just let the computer do that and have our strategists work on making sure that, you know, bigger picture things are happening, when new opportunities are available, that our media buyers are activating against those new strategies.
Right.
That's the fun stuff. That's what they want to be doing. They don't need to be doing a lot of manual looking at the difference in, right. you know, two averages. That's,
well, and I think the other part about the human, there's still feelings behind your decisions, yeah. right? They're the brands that you decide to ultimately purchase with, there are feelings that can't be captured by AI, right? There are some people that like a certain dog photo more than a different dog photo. That's mm-hmm. not something that can be consistent across all people.
Right.
So I think that's where you have to bring in that added level of understanding your audience and looking at it deeper of how do people feel, right?
Right.
That sentiment and understanding how you can complement the sentiment and people's emotions and with the metrics and with the information that we're getting. I think AI will only continue to become stronger and more apparent the more the human can engage too, right? And course correct and go in there and say, no, this isn't correct. A lot of those platforms will allow you to say, no, what you caught isn't quite right. Making sure that we are participating in what it's capturing will make it one day, you know, really get to the point where it can even do a little bit more of that human and that machine aspect. So I think we can't forget the feelings. We can't forget the feelings in this. We can't forget the human interaction. We can't forget relationships and how they feel about you and make sure that's still part of the strategy that complements the execution.
Yeah, the one last thing I'd just like to add is that, you know, it has allowed us some freedom, though, to kind of say, you know, make sure things are in this tolerance range. Like, we don't have to necessarily be watching things to a needle, but, you know, you look for the anomalies. Like, you look for the ones that had a, you know, giant surge in spend yesterday. Why? Like, did something go wrong in the platform? Like, so you can adjust the job description of your existing staff to be focused on, you know, more inquisitive tasks, like why are things this way? So not just, you know, I jokingly and somewhat seriously say my job is reducing the number of mouse clicks that it takes for every other department to do their job. Because if everyone just doesn't need to be just doing little things, they're doing those higher level activities. So just preparing things, making sure that everything's in a, you know, put a bow on it, deliver it. So they can do what they're really good at, and it's thinking, it's bringing in that context.
Yep.
So I feel like AI is a very lofty topic for a lot of marketers. It feels inaccessible. It feels highly technical. So what can we do to make AI truly feel accessible to marketers at all levels? Are there simple ways that they can start to dip their toes into the AI water without having to have the Jakes of the world, you know, with all the coding behind it, and overall still be able to improve performance through AI?
Definitely. We all play a part. So whether you're up front and early client, you know, new client onboarding, or, you know, reporting out on the end. So all the way through the cycle, everyone has an impact, but a lot of it is just making sure you're critically thinking at every step of the way. If you have a plan to measure something, make sure that there are actual steps, you know, milestones in the ground on how we're going to get there. So a lot of what people can control is giving good inputs. So making sure you've got good naming conventions. I wasn't going to, was definitely coming back to that. Good naming conventions, you know, accurate labels, like obviously machine readable things, that's super important, but good inputs also extends to your first party data. So if you sit on a giant CRM of 100,000 people that have already purchased your item, yeah, let's go find more people like that. So if you, you know, find that data, you know, start those conversations with any sort of, you know, legal process of making sure that it's done in a privacy safe manner. There's lots of different things that people can be doing, you know, a pixel strategy. So making sure that you have a website that is conducive to a KPI. So, you know, it's great that you've got all this content, but if you're after an email address, do you have a page that's optimized for capturing that email address? Making sure that you are doing things that are conducive to saying, in a future state, I want to run a paid media campaign that's going to optimize to this one thing. So I need some volume on that website. I need a website that is optimized for a good user experience, because there's a lot of, you know, wheels that need to be greased along the way for, you know, when you're really ready to apply machine learning, when you're ready to apply all these things, that you're not going to have some weak link in your process, because it really can be broken. If you can't save your new leads into a CRM system to automatically email them, send a follow-up email to ultimately drive that person back to the website and make a purchase, you know, this full consumer journey, marketing technology, AI, it requires that it's a full circle that kind of receives that feedback, because AI, you know, needs to have a goal, and it needs to be told if it's doing good or not. So you've got to set up this plan, set up a good plan. You know, there are definitely some accessible AIs in many of the DSPs we use. So whether you're not seeing a big flashing "I'm using AI" sign, but There's all sorts of bid modifications that are being done based on, you know, I think that this person's likely gonna be more likely, and like the four decimal places out, you know, slight variance that shows that this person's more likely to do my action. So there's a lot of easy ways into AI with just running media with us. So we'll be employing some degree of it to optimize our campaigns. But everyone can make sure that they're thinking about data in a structured manner, enforcing naming conventions, auditing things. So we run a lot of automated audits. Just running every, you know, are we within our contract guidelines? You know, making sure that we're set up to deliver successfully, because it's just one piece of a bigger puzzle. Mm-hmm. So optimize everything else. Control what you can control there, for sure.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, the foundation is the most important part. There's no point in trying to capture a lot of data if we don't know the purpose or we don't have a bigger goal. Doing an audit is a great idea, even with the data that they currently have. Before we start using that first party data, let's really dig into it. Does it make sense? Is it clean? Is there something else that we should be doing with it? Understanding what all they have available. Does it make sense to continue investing there, or could we invest somewhere else that could bring even more value when you start implementing campaigns or executing and using artificial intelligence? That foundation is null and void if you don't spend that time up front going through the discovery, creating that strategy, cleaning everything up, getting it prepared, and then moving forward. So the only other thing I would say is don't be afraid to ask questions. Find people that are experts in the space, have really smart conversations, allow people to help you set that foundation, and then run wild, start learning and capturing it and moving forward from there.
Yeah, I mean, I think to sum up everything you all said, we can say safely that AI is not an easy button. It does help with the nitty gritty tasks, but you still need to have smart strategies at the foundation and have to put in the legwork up front to really see the benefits. Well, this is an interesting conversation. Thank you both. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening. Kwegi is an industry-leading performance marketing agency based in the Midwest. We've learned a lot since our founding in 2014 and started the Loop Marketing Podcast to share some of our hot takes on marketing trends we're following, best practices we've discovered, and actionable tips for improving your digital strategy. We'll see you next time.